Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Purport. Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges waters, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that any person, regardless of birth, a sudras, woman, or merchants, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing so, can return to Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of a pure devotee. The pure devotees whose only business is serving are honored by the names of Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicates such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone, therefore, who can take shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master, can be at once purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. For they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home, back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords according to the revealed scriptures. The sincere disciple of the pure devotees considers the spiritual master equal to the Lord, but always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the path of devotional path. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasma Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Hare Krishna. So with your permission, I can say a few words. So this is a very, very interesting verse saying the power of a pure devotee. So we are all here, gathered here. We have come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And as stated here, we all want to go back home, back to Godhead, where we belong. But in order to do so, we have to have the association of a pure devotee. It is explained here that simply by coming in contact with a pure devotee, one can get unlimited spiritual benefit. There's a very interesting leela of Srila Prabhupada. He was on a plane. Some of you might know this. Shruti Kirtan Prabhu says it's one of his favorite stories. And Prabhupada was on the plane, and he was on his way to going to South America. And Prabhupada was sitting over there, and he generally didn't take the meals on the plane. So the devotees would pack a little packed lunch, and Prabhupada had some puffed rice. So Prabhupada was eating some puffed rice, and one of the attendants, they came and they saw Prabhupada and just took a handful of the puffed rice and put it straight in her mouth. The attendant, can you just imagine? You know, if someone did that now, an attendant came and started eating your meal or something, you start freaking out, hey, what's going on? But she just went over there, took some of Prabhupada's puffed rice, and then just ate it without questioning or without even just asking, may I take some? And then she kind of went away, and then after a few minutes, she just came, and she asked Prabhupada, is there anything you would like? And then Prabhupada says, what do you have? And said, what would you like? And says, oh, we would like some hot milk. And then she said, yes, no problem, I'll bring some hot milk. And then after a few minutes, she came back, and then she bought some hot milk for Prabhupada. Some of you have been on planes, you know how hard it is to get the attention of the attendants. More than anything, they try to avoid you. They don't want to serve you. So just to ask for a drink, it's like a real, real difficult thing. What to speak of getting a hot milk, especially in those days. So the devotees there who were with Prabhupada, they were very, very happy. Wow, this lady, she came, she served some hot milk, and they were really, really kind of quite chuffed. And then there was nothing of it. Then Prabhupada went about doing his duties. Then many years later, Shrutikirti Prabhu was giving a talk in South America, and he was explaining the same story in a crowd over there. And then after the lecture, this one devotee, he went to Shrutikirti, I've something interesting to tell you. So then Prabhuji was saying, what is it? And he says, my service is, I'm a Sankirtan devotee, and we go to all remote places. Most people, they do Sankirtan in like the cities where it's quite crowded and things like that. So our service, because South America is quite a vast place, and people's places are all over the place, and they would go in their four-wheel truck, and they would go to all different places here and there, going in the Amazon, going on this dirt road, and all sorts of places, you know. And they came upon this one place, you know, and they knocked on the door. And when they knocked on the door, this older lady, she opened the door, and then the devotees were wearing saffron clothes, and immediately she invited the devotees over inside the house, and they were a little bit surprised. I don't know if you've done door to door. It's not always easy to get, like, you know, the goodness of the people. Sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're a little bit standoff. But in this case, immediately, as soon as she saw the devotees, she welcomed the devotees in. And then, to their surprise, there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada on the wall. And they were quite taken by. So then, they asked the lady, where did you get this picture? How do you know this person? And then says, oh, I know about Krishna consciousness. And then she explained that she used to work on the plane as an attendant. And then she took some of this Mahaprasadam, the puff rice. And then although there was no philosophical exchange, although there was no discussion, no kind of formal kind of greeting, anything, somehow or another, by the mercy of a pure devotee's remnants, this lady who had taken it, unknowingly, he had affected her life. And 30 years down the road, when devotees bumped into her, I don't know if she met the devotees before or not, but there was a nice picture. She had a set of Prabhupada's books, and she knew everything about Prabhupada. So it's so wonderful to see, just by the association of a pure devotee, it can have an incredible, incredible effect. There's so many examples in the scriptures. Just by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes transformed. From whatever state, from the lowest situation, they become transformed into a wonderful devotee. So we'll just throw a few out so that we can get everyone to maybe engage. Can you think of any wonderful pastimes where a pure devotee came in contact with somebody and they managed to transform them? I'll start off with one so that you don't feel like you've been put on the spot. This is a very simple one. Everyone knows it's the famous one, Magrari the Hunter. So Magrari the Hunter, he was accustomed for killing. He was of a low class. And not just killing, his enjoyment was what? That when he killed the animals only half. And he liked to watch them suffer. So can you imagine what kind of a personality is that? You know, to see an animal kind of wavering and crying in pain. So he enjoyed. There are some people, they enjoy other people's suffering. So this was Magrari. So he came in contact with Narada Muni. And it is explained there that as soon as Magrari saw the saintly quality of Narada Muni, immediately he was taken back. So that's one example. Any other example? Anyone knows? Haridas Thakur, when the prostitute, she went to try and pollute or somehow or another entice Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said, yes, yes, no problem. I will comply with your wishes, but first let me finish my rounds. And then after that, I will comply to your wishes. So she waited patiently, and all night, Haridas Thakur, as you all know, he took a vow of chanting. And this went on day after day for 3 nights. Then just by the association of hearing a pure devotee, the prostitute, she changed. Her heart melted. And although she came with the intention to try and defame Haridas Thakur, but just simply by that association of a pure devotee, as explained here, then her life was transformed. And it's explained that not only was it transformed, although it doesn't go very much in deep, it says that she actually followed in exactly the same footsteps of Haridas Thakur, and she chanted exactly the same amount of rounds as Haridas Thakur. Prabhu? Whoa! Yes, I can relate with that. That's an amazing. So, who would have thought that these people that were seemingly came from a degraded background, they were like eating, as we would say in the Vedic, cows. So, it says that when someone eats flesh, it actually makes you less intelligent. It's very difficult to perceive the higher truths of life in spiritual understanding. But somehow or another, they came in contact with this divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and these people were transformed into the most incredible Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnava that comes to my mind straight away is Jayananda Prabhu, the first saint in our ISKCON society. I don't know if anyone's read any of his pastimes or his stories. He's the most incredible, incredible devotee. And he was selfless. And you know that verse there about the Sat Goswamis, that the six Goswamis, that explains that even the ruffians or the people who are a little bit kind of rowdy, even when they saw the Goswamis, they became easily subdued. So Jayananda was also like that. Whenever he used to go to the marketplaces, because in those days they didn't have very much money, so he would go and collect. And just by seeing Jayananda Prabhu, their hearts would melt and they would change. And he was so fixed in his strength. Of course, I don't recommend this, but it is explained that he was so fixed in his service of Lord Jagannath that he would practically work 24/7. So once he had all his hippies and everyone working over there, and they were working, and they said, what time is lunch? Oh, you know, when it comes at 8:30, everyone starts to panic. Oh, God, is it going to stop? You know? So then, Anyway, and then they said, oh, the prasadam was late because there wasn't like anything like that. And they didn't want to kind of like, work, you know. And he says, oh, everything is prasad. Everything belongs to Lord Jagannath. He can even eat this grease that's prasadam. And they say, what? Are you out of your mind? And he took some grease and, oh, and he started eating it. Of course, I don't recommend that. But, you know, in that way, he was completely absorbed in the service of Lord Jagannath, that he saw everything as transcendental. So we've got Valmiki, we've got Srila Prabhupada. Sorry, not Valmiki, what am I talking about? Magrari. Actually, Valmiki was another one. You know the story of Valmiki. He was also a hunter. So then, as you know, the story goes that Narada Muni saw him hunting, and then Narada Muni tried to stop him. And then he said, no. Then Narada Muni explained that if you don't stop, then you will incur karma. And then he said, yeah, that's okay. I accept this. But the thing is, that, like, I'm doing this for my family. So whatever karma I get, then my wife, nice patni, dharmapatni, she'll take half of my karma. And at least that'll be good, you know. And he goes, oh, you go and ask if she'll take half your karma. So he went and then asked the wife, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm killing animals, and then, of course, I'm incurring some sin. You're going to share my karma, aren't you? Help me out a little bit here. You know, wives do that. And she said, whew, forget it. No way, Jose, you know. It's your duty. You're the man. You're supposed to provide nicely for us. It's you've taken upon yourself, so your bit is your bit. Then, oh, he was a bit disturbed, and he said, oh, God, this is not so good, is it? So then he went to Narada Muni and said, oh, yeah, actually, she's not having any of that, you know. Valmiki said, oh, what should I do? And he said, oh, you should chant the name of Ram, and this will purify you. And then because Valmiki was so accustomed to sinful activities that he couldn't change the name of Ram. The words just wouldn't come out of his mouth, no matter how he tried. It just wouldn't come out. Anyway, so then he said, oh, what words do you know then? Then he said, oh, the only word I know is death. And death is Mara. So he said, oh, just chant Mara. And then Valmiki said, really? He said, yeah, just chant Mara. So then Valmiki chanting, try this, boys. Mara, 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 Mara. If you keep on saying it again and again, it becomes what? Rama. So in this way, he kept on saying Mara, 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 Rama, 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 Rama. And before you know it, he was Rama Bhakta. So in this way, the association of Narada Muni again, he transformed Valmiki, and as we know, he is the famous author of the Ramayana. So it's very, very important. So then one might think, oh yes, so many wonderful pure devotees in the Bhagavatam, so many pure devotees here. But if we look around, where are they? Because we need them now, isn't it? We're all a little bit struggling, a little bit in life. If the pure devotees are this powerful, oh, I could do a bit of that, isn't it? In my Krishna consciousness. But where are they? If you look at your person next to you, are they a pure devotee? You never know. No one knows who is a pure devotee or not. All too often, we sometimes have a preconception of what a pure devotee is. Having been in ISKCON a long, long time, and we generally think someone who's very charismatic, someone who can speak eloquent verses, someone who can, like, you know, lead a fantastic kirtan. Sometimes we equate those things as someone very, very elated, very, very, you know, pure or something like that. And then this one devotee, he was telling me, he was in Mayapur, and no offense, he was listening to one person speak, and this person was giving quite a far out lecture, and this devotee was really taken in by the lecture. He spoke really nicely, very, very charismatic. He had everyone cracking. He thought, wow, this is a wonderful person. And he was looking for some kind of siksha of some kind. Anyway, so then after the class, then he was went to see, and he approached him, and he said, I really liked your class, and can I, have some of your association? And he said, yeah, here's some of my tapes. Take these tapes, and you can listen to these tapes. And then he said he was very happy. Then he offered obeisances. And then as he started offering obeisances, as he went away, then this same person started chastising this devotee out of no reason. And this devotee had a little deformed body. He said, what is that? You got a crooked back, this and that. And he started putting him down. And this devotee felt so belittled. He had no idea from where this came from. He was so surprised, so taken back, you know. He sincerely went, trying to find a little bit of spiritual guidance. And then he went back, he thought it over. Then he felt, actually, this is not for me. So then he just returned the tapes. So please don't be pre-judgmental about who we think is a pure devotee. Say, for example, if Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he came in the reception, probably the security will throw him out. So, but we know that Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj is a very pure devotee, and it's an internal thing. So, what we have to understand, although we might not find the caliber of pure devotees that we might be seeking in the way it explains in the Bhagavatam, what Prabhupada is explained, if someone is connected with the parampara, then he also becomes pure. So although he might not be the pure in the sense, he's an Uttama Adhikari, the holy name when he chants, Krishna is dancing on his tongue and he's having like ecstatic symptoms. When he sees the deities, there's torrents of rains. Although we might not find that kind of a pure devotee, but if someone follows in a very, very, very pure way, then he also becomes transformed just by that pure thinking of trying to execute. There's an interesting saying, there's no pure persons, but only pure intentions. So the idea is that if we have a pure intention, then we can actually find what we're seeking for. And in this way, we can try and elevate our own kind of life. And it is explained there's three things which are very, very conducive in our spiritual life, which are from a pure devotee. It's explained in the Shastras. If you can get these three things, you have to try and get it by hook or by crook. And one of them is the remnants of a pure devotee. The potency of the remnants of a pure devotee is immense. It is incredible. As we saw earlier on in this pastime, once Srila Prabhupada was on his lawn upstairs, and in his room upstairs, and he was looking out of the lawn, and he saw two devotees were scuffling with each other. And Prabhupada was a little disturbed. He says, what is this in my society? Devotees are like fighting. He was a little bit upset. So then he sent his servant to try and find out what's going on. So then the servant, he came, and Prabhupada asked, why are they kind of, fighting? And the Prabhupada said, oh, Prabhupada, they're fighting over your orange peel. And Prabhupada, oh, that is okay then. So the idea is that if you can summon another by hook or crook, get some remnants of a pure devotee, then this will help you immensely in your spiritual life. So that's the remnants. And then the other is when you wash the lotus feet of a pure devotee, the water that trickles down, if you can get that Charanamrita, that pure water that's washed his feet, that can also be very, very, very incredible in transferring that spiritual potency into yourself. I'm not sure if you know, the Indradumna Maharaj tells this fantastic story that he had the honor of washing Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and then there was this like big, massive kirtan going on. The Prabhupada's water that was bathed was kept on the side. And as this kirtan was going on, him and a few of them took this water and they went and they locked themselves in the room. It was like all this Prabhupada's lotus feet water, and they started drinking. And then this door was banging, bang, 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 because the devotees found out they had taken it. So at one point they were thinking, oh, should we open the door? Should we share it? And there's all this like, you know, nectar over there. Should we share it? And they said, nah, they just drank the whole thing themselves, you know. So transcendental nicking maha in this way. And the last and the one that we can all appreciate the most is the words emanating from a pure devotee. And just by hearing a pure devotee, these words, they can enter our ears, they can go and enter our heart, and they can transform us. So in the way that Lokabandhu Prabhu was explaining, that sometimes it is said that some of these devotees in the early days, when Prabhupada was speaking, they couldn't even understand what Prabhupada was saying. They couldn't, you know that story Shamashunda was saying, bow down, you know. So they didn't know what was that, you know. So they thought it was a blow on the fire sacrifice. So they couldn't understand Srila Prabhupada, but patiently they just listened and they just listened. And as one devotee pointed out, actually, if you look at Prabhupada's lectures, the early lectures that Prabhupada gave, they were more than 1 hour, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. So he spoke and they said, then later on his lectures became a little short. So the idea was that they just said, they listened to a pure devotee, and this had an effect, this Shabda Brahma. So by listening to this pure devotee, they were transformed. So these are the three important things which are very, very important in our spiritual life. So we should try and seek the association of a pure devotee whenever we can. And in this way, we can enhance our own spiritual life. I have one little bit of personal story as well. Somehow or another, I also managed to get a little Prabhupada's maha. When Prabhupada came and visited here on his last visit, Prabhupada was sitting over here, and then Prabhupada went upstairs, and they had a huge big plate. There's a video, if you see the video, there's a big plate like this, and they offered this plate of fruit to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada started eating it, and he saw some mango, and he ate this mango, and he said, that's enough. Then he spoke a little bit, then the devotees had to leave, and then one devotee, they gave him this Mahaprasadam from Srila Prabhupada, and he was a tall devotee, 6'2", and he held it really high, and devotees were trying to grab it, you know, and he just took it through all the devotees, and he grabbed me, and he pulled me, and we came down these stairs, we went in the prasadam room, and he brought the plate down, and he took the mango that Prabhupada ate, and he gave it to me, and somehow or another, by eating that mango, I think I'm still over here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. So any questions, comments, complaints, queries, corrections?